Praise the Lord. How many know what we've been talking about on Sunday morning so far? Do we remember? I don't even know if we remember. That's okay. You don't have to remember. But we've been talking about the born-again nature, the new spirit that God has placed within you when you were born again. And I know that you were changed. And I know that we understand it. But you know, when we can get it down into our core being and really realize what God has given us on the inside, that God Himself came and made His home on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Everybody says, well, I know what it is to be born again. That's when Jesus forgives me of my sin, and that's true. And we are born from above, but we become an actual son of the living God. It's not just being born, but we're born, the Bible says, from above. We saw that in John 3, that we're born from above. He said, what did He say? That which is flesh, or born of the natural, is flesh, right? When you're born from your mother, you know, there's that which is born of water is water. You know, you come from your mother through that canal, and as far as I'll go. But anyway, you're born from her womb, aren't you? And you come out and you're there. That which is born of the Spirit, your inward man, is Spirit. So in other words, if I'm here and Pastor Doug stands here and I step out of my body, hopefully, well, we'd have to hold my body up because my spirit's there, but we'll just say it's together. If I put my spirit man here, we would look and you'd say, well, there's Pastor Doug's spirit right there. If you could see it, you're there. And we'd say, well, what is that made up? What's it made up? Well, it's made up of spirit, isn't it? It's not made up of fleshly things. My body is made up, we know, of what? Neutrons, protons, electrons, you know, all kinds of cells put together. The DNA of man, every cell has that little DNA and knows just what to do. It's amazing, isn't it? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But also, now inside there, the part we don't see is our spirit, isn't it? It's alive. And we said, you know, in Thessalonians 5:23, 2 Thessalonians. Well, 1 Thessalonians, sorry. 1 Thessalonians. That we are three part being. Now we separate it for definition's sake, but how many know you got to work together with your body, whether you like it or not? See, it's kind of like the guy that said, you know, he went speeding through a small town and he was doing excessive amount of speed. And so the policeman pulled him over. Well, sir, you were doing, you know, you're doing 140 kilometers an hour. And the speed limit here is only 50 kilometers an hour through our town here. And that's so excessive, I'm going to arrest you. And he takes him down to the cell, and he says, well, you know, but I'm free. I've been born again. I'm free. And they put his body in that cell. And so the jailer said, well, your spirit's free to go, but your body's staying right here. Now your spirit's free to go, you know. Well, that's great. You know, how many knows? On this earth, where your spirit goes, your body's going to have to go too. See, we separate for definition's sake, but we got to work together, don't we? But if we listen to that spirit man that's been born again on the inside, he said here in 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, what does that mean to be sanctified wholly? Now, one time I was told, oh, that means that you'll never have a tendency to sin anymore. That means all kinds of things to all kinds of people. But the word sanctify, I looked it up many times. I did quite an exhaustive study on it, actually. And sanctify, really, it just means set apart. set apart to be holy, set apart holy to the Lord. You know, I mean, under the Old Testament, there was places that they sanctified to the Lord, didn't they? They had the temple. It's sanctified to God. In other words, it's set apart for His use. And you are to be sanctified. We set ourselves apart for His use. Okay, the peace of God sanctify you wholly or completely. And I pray that what your whole spirit. Now that's the inward man, what we're talking about. And I know these are very simple truths, but how many think it's important to understand who you are? If we can understand, we can begin to operate more fully. Our whole spirit and soul and body. That's three different things here. Be preserved, blameless, to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now your body is not going to keep itself holy to the Lord because your body just kind of comes along for the ride. It's your earth suit that you live in here so that you could contact this natural world, isn't it? And then we have a soul, a mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect. That's where we talk together. We contact people, right? We contact ourselves. We start interacting, don't we, with our fellow man. And then, of course, number one, he said that our spirit, that inward man, that's the part of us that was born from above. That's where we were contacting God, really through our spirit. Now, many times our heart, you know, the very deepest part of us, the Bible sometimes refers to the spirit man as the heart. Anybody ever heard of maybe the heart of a tree? What do they mean? The very center of that trunk, don't they? The very middle part, the very deepest part. And in our deepest part, we are a spirit. God said, He didn't say you're going to be. No, no, no. We are spirit. I pray your whole spirit and soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, our intellect and body be preserved blameless. Well, what does that mean? Preserved blameless, that means we're not going to have a lot of sin in us, is it? Amen. We want to keep it free. But how many know your body, you, the real you, the inner man, has to control that outer man, doesn't he? You have to control your body. It doesn't just control itself. It's got all kinds of, it wants to eat 15 pieces of pie. You know, or you got a pie given, it wants to eat the whole thing right now. All at once. Well, did you have two pieces already yet? But I want a third one. It'll take the third one. Well, just one more. Have you ever been there? You know, just one more piece, you know, just one more. The flesh wants its way and it can't be trusted. It has to be considered dead. It has to be crucified. Or we have to keep it under the control of our spirit, which is alive to God. So God is communicating to our spiritual man. And it is up to us to let that, him, you know, his nature, that nature that's on the inside of us, that nature begin to control us. That's the part of us that really, I mean, when we're first born again, how many know we're not born full grown? I wish we were. Now we're born complete, absolutely. Well, so is a baby. You know, Paul likens the body of Christ, you know, like to a baby, right? Isn't a baby born full grown? Doesn't he have 10 fingers and 10 toes? But how many know that baby's not going to live very long without mama, without daddy? If you leave it to its own, it's going to die. But if it's cared for, it has to be what? Cared for by someone else. Why? Because it's not full grown. It's not old enough. Now, you know, when that baby gets to be 20, you don't want to be changing his diaper, do you? Amen. You'd like him to get a job. Maybe move out of the house, right? Start thinking about it at least, right? Hallelujah. Why? Because they mature. And we do the same thing. In our spirit, we're not necessarily born full grown, but as we mature in God. Well, what's in there? What's in that spirit? There's some things that are in there. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. It doesn't all happen automatically. You've got to decide. I'm going to let my inner man, my spirit man rule. I'm going to let my spirit man rise up. I'm going to let it take what? Control. And I'm going to operate my life from that inner life, that inner man. That's another word for it. The inner man, the spirit man, that deep man, the man of the heart, the hidden man of the heart. Our spiritual man, which was born from above. Now here in Galatians 5, some of you already know where I'm going. And I know these are simple truths. But you know, if you don't realize who you are, that you're number one, I'm not number one a body. I'm not number one a mind. I'm number one, I am a spirit. I have a body. I have a soul. But those are things I have to allow to be controlled by my inner man. Which is where I have some things here. It says verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now some people say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. No, that's you. That's your spiritual man. If it's not in you, then how could you possess it? You know, I don't possess something my wife has. I mean, you know, we're one and I may use something she has, but I don't possess it. It's not mine, it's hers. That's her hair dryer, you know, or whatever, her curling iron, you know. I don't need that. My hair's not long enough for it, you know, but, you know, I may use it for something. You know, oh, I need that. I got to do something with something. Maybe I'll use it, but I don't possess it. She possesses it. It's hers. She is the one that owns that. And there are things here in your spirit that everyone has. Just like that baby, it looks just like you. Is that baby complete? If you have a baby here, they'll be complete, right? Five fingers on each hand. They've got toes. They can, you know, they've got a brain. They're fully formed. Everything's good. You know, well, they've got a soul. They've got a mind. But they're not yet matured to communicate with you. On a, you know, other than from a baby level, right? Mama, you know, wow, mama knows what it means. Oh, you're hungry, you know, or, you know, you need your diaper change, whatever it may be. But here it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is love. Well, if the fruit of the Spirit, if you've got love in you, then how come you don't automatically just walk in? Why don't you just walk in love? Come on. Anybody ever heard that? You know, you knew you had to walk in more love before you got here, didn't you? You know, he said, if you love me, keep my commands. Well, why don't you just keep them? Because you're maturing. There's a place in you that has to mature. These are the fruit of our reborn spirit. And unfortunately, they have to be grown. How many knows they have to grow? And how many know you can grow in love? Your love can abound, it says, more and more. You say, well, where's that? Over here in it's either Philippians or Colossians, sorry. Just a little bit over. We'll look at it real quick. Let's look at that. Yeah, Philippians here. Okay, and he says, in this I pray, Philippians 1:9. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Well, if it's going to abound more and more, doesn't it have to grow a little bit? Amen. Come on now. Now, you don't expect your 5-year-old to have the same judgment you know, that your 15 or 16 year old has, do you? Amen. When he's 5 years old, that's a different judgment. Maybe he can, maybe he's learning, you know, and eventually you teach him how to cross the street, right? Look both ways. And so now he's learning, oh mama, look both ways. You know, and you're thankful. Well, yes, we want to remember that, son. That's right. Good. Very good. You know, but you're not letting him do it by himself just yet, because this is a busy street. You know, I remember when I was 4 years old, I was at the neighbor's. And she was, I used to go to the babysitter across the street. Being a good Catholic lady with 9 kids, you know, we were out playing in the sand and putting sand in each other's hair, and she came out with a hairbrush. And I went running. And I kept running. And I went right across that street. To this day, God is my witness, I can still see that truck right there. It said Mack right there across the middle. This big Mack truck. I mean, I could still hear his horn, you know. He put that horn, you know. And I'm just running as fast as I can. Thank God I didn't get run over. But the reason I was running so fast, because my dad worked across the street, see it, at a nursery. And I'm going to get safe. I went running to my dad and found my daddy. Hallelujah. Save me, daddy. She wants to beat me. You know, he probably should have let her, but anyway, I was safe for that day, you know. Anyway, praise the Lord, you know. But here, our love abounds more and more. So that would tell us, if it can abound, then it must be able to grow. Fruits grow. And you say, well, how do they grow? They grow when we exercise them, when we practice them. For instance, in love, well, the Bible says what? Love is kind, number one. Well, it said kindness in there too. I understand that. Galatians 5. It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness, really. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you look at some of the translations, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the 9 fruit of our reborn spirit. And really, all of them have a connection to love, don't they? Amen. How many know there's joy? There's love and joy, isn't there? Hallelujah. Now, these are all the fruit. But if we're going to let them abound in us, it says in here, 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts of it. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, what spirit's he talking about? Really, our nature, our reborn spirit. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit will help us along the way. He's in there. He's our guide. He'll teach us. He'll help us. But really, we're walking according to the nature of God that was placed on the inside of us, the Spirit of God, that human spirit that's in us. And so, you know, we're not automatically full-grown in love, are we? If we were, love endures long and is patient and kind, never envious, right? It doesn't ever boil over with jealousy. I'm giving you the Amplified Bible. If it sounds a little loud, that's why. You know, that's the Amplified. It doesn't boil over with jealousy. Anybody ever here been jealous? I've been jealous before. Maybe it was over a girl, but maybe it was something else. You know, you could be jealous because somebody, your brother got blessed and you didn't. Well, why is God blessing them? We should be rejoicing. Amen. We can have blessings from God when we ask. We need something, we can ask. But hallelujah. It doesn't boil over jealousy. It's not boastful, vainglorious. It's not vain. In other words, thinking how great we are, right? We're boasting of ourselves. Look at me. Look how great I am. Hallelujah. You know, or the attitude that we're always right. Anybody ever seen people like that? They're never wrong. Never. They're no, but you're wrong here. No. I mean, if they ever do admit they're wrong, it's, you know, they got it, some reason for it. You know? But we have to humble ourselves. That's part of what we do. We humble ourselves and we practice these things. So, well, how, what do you mean practice it? That means I start doing it on purpose. I let love rule on the inside of me, in my spirit. I'm going to walk according to my spirit, which is what? Love. Hallelujah. Love has some joy. Well, you don't look very joyful. Then I have to practice. Ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. Hallelujah. Father, I let joy rise up on the inside of me. And sometimes I do that on purpose. I've had some people say, you know, sometimes I teach India once in a while. They say, oh, you're always smiling. You're always so happy. You know, you smile all the time. Why? Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength, not me. I'm not my, I don't want to be my own strength. I found out that doesn't work so good. You say, well, what do you mean? You tried? Have you? You ever tried your own strength? I have. Sure. We all have. But we're growing. We're allowing to mature on the inside of us the love of God, the life of God. The very nature of our inner man begins to grow and mature as we spend time with Him and we realize who He is and who we are, and we become the reflection. We actually are transformed to love. We're being transformed to where all we are is that love. Boy, I know sometimes it's not easy. Anybody ever have to endure long? You know, long suffering. What does that mean? To suffer long. Yeah, but it sure seems like it's taking a long time. Suffer long. How many are glad God's long suffering with you? Amen. Long suffering. How about peace? You got peace in there. Come on, be peaceful. That sounds easy, doesn't it? We can preach it real good, can't we? You know, I can preach things good, but, you know, I'm just like you. I got to live. I got to live in that place. I got to learn to look inside and let peace rise. Lord, you said to me, you are peace, not like the world gives. Give I to you. I give you a peace that passes the understanding or what I see with my mind. In other words, I understand, yes, that my $10,000 bill is due tomorrow. But there is a place in Him where that doesn't have to affect me. Whatever it is. Whether it's that, well, my problem is, it's my husband, you see. He's my problem. He might be a problem, but he's not your problem. Amen. Hallelujah. That means we can still walk in love even if they're giving us a problem. Oh boy, that went over like a lead balloon. You know, just kind of, oh boy, I don't know if I like that one, Pastor Doug, because I understand there are people can, you know, annoy us. But, you know, sometimes we've got to come to a place where we're looking to please God. You can't please everybody. You know, God said, you know, Paul said, I'm not a man pleaser. Well, what was that? It's over in Romans. Or Galatians 1, I think. Anyway, it's one of those two. But anyway, he said, I'm not here. If I were still trying to be a man pleaser, I would be the servant of Christ. If I was still trying to please every man. But how many know when you're walking in love, that means we're not going to allow what? Strife in our life. Oh boy, that's a good one, isn't it? Anybody ever strive with somebody? You know? Why? Because we think we got to have the last word. For some reason, our flesh likes that. I think it's something in our soul, you know. Well, I got to have the last word because I'm right. By the way. Well, you know what? Sometimes you can be right and be totally wrong. Oh my goodness. Really, Pastor? Yes, really. Because love is what? It's not seeking its own. You know, sometimes we got to think about that other person. Are we looking for their redemption or their destruction? And when we're thinking like God from our spiritual man, we're looking for their redemption. You know, oh, I'm not saying they could, you know, they might annoy you. You know, they didn't keep their word. They didn't show up. You had to do something because of them. Well, you know, we got to let those things go. They're a part of life. You know, and yeah, hey, they could be annoying. But yet we want to walk in what? Kindness. In goodness. See, it's all easy to walk in kindness when everybody's kind to you, isn't it? When everybody loves me. It's my birthday. Everybody loves me today. Woo, that's easy, see? That's an easy day, isn't it? Well, everybody loves me. I'm the, what? Oh, man. It's my birthday. I feel good. I made it another year. God's with me. Hallelujah. Everybody loves me. They're all saying nice things. And I do appreciate it. I know it's from your heart. I hope. But anyway, you know, God knows it's from your heart. I believe that. I believe that. I really do. But anyway, you know, these are fruit that have to grow. They go by practice. They go by spending time with the Lord in prayer. Letting the Holy Spirit teach us. Turning ourselves over to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. Amen? To letting our spirit man have first place. And remembering, hey, I'm going to put the Word of God first. Not me, not what I think. It's all good. I may think some things. But what does God's Word say? God's word said that I'm to pray and to cast my care on him, right? Philippians 4. Who knows that verse? Amen. It won't hurt to read it. We're in Philippians anyway. We read Philippians 1:9. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians 4. Verse 8, let's go to verse 6. Says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that tells me we're to ask with what? Thanksgiving. I would say thanksgiving must have something to do with our peace. How about you? Don't you remember what he said there in Psalm 8:2? That we bring things captive. We stop the avenger of our soul, the enemy of our soul. We stop him. How? With praise and worship, with thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. And we stay in peace. He said, you'll have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. And so there is a peace that passes what we see in the natural, our understanding. Hallelujah. How many know there's an understanding of this world and there's an understanding from his world? Amen. From the inner man. Glory to God. Now keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That we all have, how many have heard that 100 times? So, well, I didn't hear it 100 times, but maybe a few times. But it's written for our admonition so that we can remember that, hey, thankfulness is going to make a difference in your peace. Do you know in the last days, he said, what? There'll be of a unthankful generation. There'll be unthankful people. But we're not of that because our inner man, amen? Galatians 5, that inner man has something. God didn't just birth you and leave you, you know, useless. He gave you some things in that inner man, in that spirit man, in my spirit. Now, some of you need to be using some of those things for yourself. What? Yeah. God began to teach me that. You need to have a little love for yourself. A little joy toward you. A little peace. A little patience. How many know sometimes we can be impatient with ourselves? Anybody ever been impatient with yourself? Now come on, hurry up. Let's get through this. Come on, God. You know, I want to get... No, I need a little patience with me instead of condemning me or letting the enemy condemn us. Amen? Some kindness toward yourself. Goodness. Just be faithful. Gentle. Sometimes we got to stop and think. These are things in me. And yeah, I need to apply them to other people. I need to let them grow and let them, what, express who Jesus really is. Because really, that's what he's doing. He's conforming us to the image of Christ. And on the inside of you is the image of Christ. He lives in you. He gave you a spirit of your own. You have a spirit, but it looks like Jesus' spirit because it was born from above. Just like he had one born from above, you received your spirit. Born from above. It's in you. It's yours. It belongs to you. You got that peace in there. Well, how am I going to get it out here? Well, part of it will be from knowing what he said, placing the Word of God first place, letting it come forward, beginning to practice peace. I remember I used to get all upset. One little thing goes wrong and I'm upset. He said, you, Pastor Doug? Yes, me. I remember I was driving my car and that temptation came. I had just changed the belt on my car. I got a brand new belt. Anybody ever do that? You know, you put the new belt on the car. And I'm driving along and I hear this, you know, and the car stops and it's that belt that I just put on there. Oh boy, you know, what does that mean? Oh, well, you had to call the tow truck, we know, got to get home somehow or wherever you're going. But this time I got it off the road, you know, push it off. And I decided I'm going to practice something. I'm going to practice counting it all joy. So, well, how did you practice it? I got my little testament out. And I went and sat down. They had a little bench there at this convenience store nearby. And I just opened it up to James chapter 1. I started reading. Count it all joy, right? When you fall into diverse temptations. Well, it didn't seem very joyful. That's the point. He said, count it joy. Count it joy. So Lord, I said, Lord, I'm doing my best. I'm counting it joy. And I fall into this temptation to get upset about this situation, this trial that has come to me. And you know what happened to me? Because of that, I realized, he said, what? And God is going to do something for you. He's going to bring you wisdom. If we ask, James 1, let's read it. Praise the Lord. He said, well, I know all those scriptures, Pastor. I know you do. It's not about what we know. See, it's about what are we applying. Ooh. You know, you can know the Bible. I know some people, they know all kinds of scripture. They know 10 times more than I do. If we had a contest, they could probably quote 10 times more verses than I can. And that's okay with me. You know, the Bible didn't say who can quote the most is the most spiritual. It didn't even say who knows the most is the most spiritual. Amen. But James did say, if you become a doer, you know, it's not the things we haven't learned yet that are bothering us. It's the things we already know. Amen. But verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh something, patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Oh boy, I was working that joy. I was working that patience. Have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. So I did ask the Lord. I got about that far and asked him for wisdom. Well, you know what happened to me? My mind started going. Praise God. I had a memory. I remembered. I said, I think I threw that old belt in the trunk. And so I went out. I checked, and sure enough, there's the old belt that had been on there that was wore down. But how many know a good belt's better than no belt? And so I put that belt on there, tightened her down, and sure enough, here I go. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I was so glad. I counted it joy. But it's a practice. It's when we do that on purpose and we make choices to say, no, I'm going to listen to my inner man and not what my emotions are telling me, not what I want to feel, how I feel. My emotions are telling me I feel upset. You feel violated. Something's wrong. I mean, I just put that belt on and now come on. What have I done wrong? You know, anybody ever felt that way? You know, is everybody against me? You know, I know the devil's got some power, but man, he must have my number extra today. You know, but no, we don't want to talk that way. We begin to take our thoughts, what? Captive. And we practice those fruit that lives on the inner man. And we allow our spirit man to rule and reign. And I know you know these things. But how many know it's important? We need to think more about who we are in our spiritual man, not our outward man, because that's what's going to help us to, what, overcome and allow that man to die. No, I'm not going to allow myself to be upset in this situation, Lord. I'm going to take you. And you know, it didn't take me 5 minutes. I had it all done. And I thought, wow. Now, if I'd had my let my flesh have my way, that belt would bend there all the time. I may have never thought of it. You said, well, you might have anyway. Not likely. Anybody ever get upset? You know, you don't really think of good things too much. You're just all upset about the situation. And try to solve it myself and spent money I didn't need to. You know, maybe took it, had it towed to a shop, paid extra more money. Bought another belt, which I eventually did, but I mean, you know, if you could do it on your time, it's always better, isn't it? Hallelujah. Anyway, let's remember to be, well, we used to say God inside minded. That was one word that was used sometimes, but to be conscious more of our spiritual man, our inner man. And that's part of what we do when we spend time praying in tongues, isn't it? The Holy Spirit builds us up. We become more aware of that inner man on the inside. Amen. More aware of that than we do of the natural circumstance. And we realize, oh, let that faith that's in us rise up. Amen. And change the circumstance. Well, what am I going to change it with? Well, sometimes it's with the peace of God. Hallelujah. My whole circumstance changed. Sometimes it's counting it all joy, letting patience have its work. Hallelujah. Allowing those fruits to dominate me and not my natural man, not my natural emotion. Amen. And we let the joy of the Lord be our strength, and we trust Him and walk with Him, casting that care, getting into thanksgiving. Amen. And letting ourselves come in that situation, each situation. You know, there are opportunities every day to walk in love. You know, well, what happened? Well, my neighbor came out and he bawled me out from on the grass. He said I woke him up, blah, 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 you know. Well, that guy, he should have been sleeping till noon. Yeah, blah, 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 you know, right? You know, your flesh man wants to tell him, you know, sometimes we say, I'll give them a piece of my mind. Well, what does that do? Usually it more torments you than it does them. You know? But if we give them, you know, how about grace, patience, the love of God, the peace of God? We're going to have these things more and more. I mean, we're moving into more of the end time. There's going to be a lot of people that need the peace of God. A lot of people are going to need some patience with God. And we're going to need to be patient with them. How many know that you're thankful that you've had patience shown to you as you're growing in the Lord? Amen. All right. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. I'm just going to stop right there. We'll pick up some more. Amen. But we've got a nature on the inside of us that's filled with love and joy and peace and patience that is walking around with you. And we can allow that fruit to grow. Amen. We can allow it to come forward. We can allow it and continue to practice walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, that we'll be doers of it and not just hearers, Lord. That we'll become those that are filled with thanksgiving, that allow peace to dominate our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That, Father, will allow our spirit man to have control, and we'll allow him to dominate us over our flesh, over our negative emotion. We'll take our thoughts captive, Father. We'll display Jesus to the world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.